participate and help us win this battle.
The dollar dying a slow death abroad. Brazil and China threatening to ditch it. We have the scoop on that. Obama gives an or else to Iran on nuclear talks. Looking for answers? Wolfram Alpha, the new search engine rage, or is it? We'll talk to tech geek Greg Stebbin coming up around the bend. But first, oh my, oh my. Monday Night Football gets a new voice. Tony Kornheiser is out. Former Super Bowl winning coach John Gruden is in. Here's what he had to say today.
Well, I love football. I mean, I just love it. And you can't say enough about Monday night. Growing up the son of a coach in Ohio and Indiana, my brothers and I used to fight to see if we could stay up and watch the second half. And being a coach in the NFL for the last 18 or 19 years, these are the games that I really look forward to. I know the players do, the fans do. Monday Night Football is in my blood, and I just don't want to screw it up, Mike. I want to be a big part of the team, and I know you and Jaws are two of the best, and certainly I have some big shoes to fill because Tony Kornheiser is one of the most dynamic, colorful guys in this business. So I'm looking forward to it. I know I got a lot to learn.
All right, so that was Gruden on ESPN. He's in the booth, as I said. Now, Kornheiser, he's afraid of flying, has a lot of problems with that, decided he wanted out. They didn't boot him out. He decided he wanted to step away. Who better to talk to right from the get-go on this show with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight, than Ed Berliner from StoneColdSports.com. What a sight. No crap, no nonsense, just pure opinion, baby. Ed, how are you doing?
I'm excellent, and I think that perhaps if they want to solve the problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians, they ought to just call John Gruden.
Yeah, he'll solve it. Chucky. Call Chucky when in doubt.
Dirty Chucky would stick him in a room somewhere. Guaranteed they'd have that thing settled in about 15 seconds.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, what was your first reaction to Gruden being the guy who got this gig?
That Tony Kornheiser went out on his own, but he was basically pushed out by a number of people, quite frankly, because what was going on in the booth of Monday Night Football wasn't working. And also, I'm also very happy now that they have at least a 10-second delay on broadcast television, because knowing what happens when John gets going, he could actually be, and I thought it was a great move by ESPN, because John is just, he is flamboyant enough and outspoken enough to where you really never know what he's going to say. He's a brilliant football mind, and he could actually turn out to be the next John Madden, maybe John Madden Jr. almost, although I think the bam, bang is going to have to go, and John certainly won't want his own bus.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I agree with you on the Kornheiser thing. What was it that didn't work with Kornheiser in that booth?
He's not glib enough to be a football guy. I mean, Howard Cosell said it many years ago. There is a jockocracy in this country, and that's when Howard saw basically nothing more than a lot of former jocks becoming play-by-play guys and analysts. But in some ways, he was right. They need somebody there who has an intrinsic knowledge of the game as a color analyst. And Kornheiser wasn't working. He knows football like so many of us who cover the games for a living. He knows the players. He knows the X's and O's, but he has not been down there on the field. And you need that. Plus, the second part of that is Monday Night Football has been a clown show for the last couple of years, to where they have tried to change it and keep it as an entertainment vehicle. It's not an entertainment vehicle. It's football. People get entertainment out of football, but you can't make it a sideshow, first of all, and we can only go back to all the different permutations that they've had of Monday Night Football the last couple of years that haven't worked. Kornheiser just didn't work. He's just not that kind of a guy that people want to listen to. He's not a former player. And, of course, he doesn't have good TV hair.
Oh, and Gruden is a decent-looking man. So besides all the knowledge, you're right. He's going to look good on the tube. We know he already does look good.
it's exactly what it is. Look, television is a visual medium. They want to see good-looking people there. Look, Tony knows it, too. A lot of people know it as well. And they wanted to see somebody in there who had the savvy of being a coach. I think Gruden's a great choice, but I'll tell you this. He is not done coaching. I am absolutely convinced that he's taking the job because there's really no place for him right now. He's got to kind of remake himself a little bit. He's He's got a bit of a reputation around the NFL as being a guy who shoots off at the mouth once too often. Personally, I just think he's fun, honestly, and he's a very good coach. So he's got to rehab himself a little bit. So he'll be back somewhere. Chucky will be back on the sideline sooner or later.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, you know this game so well, and you've done it. You've done the play-by-play thing. I grew up in a football family slash hockey family where I had a pro hockey player in my family. So, it was sacred to me to watch Monday Night Football, but I grew up the same time that you did in the era where, you're right, it wasn't so much of a sideshow. And you make a great point. The last couple of years, that's exactly what it's been. So maybe he pulls this Monday Night broadcast back to where it should be, do you think?
He's going to, simply because people are going to want to come to him because he is that. He's a big mouth, but I say that in a very affectionate way for John. He's quiet when he wants to be, but he can also be the guy that is not afraid to say what's on his mind. And Monday Night Football is awful. I mean, from somebody who has been around and watched it and remembers what it was, certainly it lost an awful lot when it went off ABC television and went on to ESPN, simply because it lost the cachet. Monday night used to be football night. It used to be a party. It used to be something you looked forward to. But now it's not even that. Now they've had too many dog games over the years, and they've tried to inject entertainers into it, and they've tried to have singers and dancers. I'm only shocked that Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan haven't made an appearance in the booth sometime trying to call a quarter of football. But it's not what people want. They want good, solid football. They want good football people and some entertainment. I think that what happened is ABC tried to put the entertainment first, and that just really hasn't worked. It's not as exciting as it used to be.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Ed. Of the guys that you see now, like the guys on Fox and some of the other broadcasts, who do you think are the best in the booth? Who are the best in the business?
You're really going to put me in a problem
Come
here,
on.
Aren't you? You're going to make sure that I get, you're going to make sure that all my emails start to explode in the next couple of hours.
Yep.
I guess I'm a little bit of old school because, I still love Dick Enberg whenever I hear his voice from the past. He's a marvelous, marvelous announcer. I think that Joe Buck does a very nice job in baseball. A lot of people don't like his style. I do. I think he's very good for the game. There's so many good guys that are sitting out there right now and so many people I don't want to upset.
I love that.
I'll say this much. I mean, there's a lot of very good announcers out there who don't inject themselves into the game. Look,
Yeah. The
finest announcer in the history of this man, and God bless him, he is still calling baseball in Los Angeles, Vin Scully, is still a legend because he doesn't try to be the game. He announces the game. He gives it to you. The people of Los Angeles love him for that. But right now we've got, and again, it goes down to the Don Henley song, Dirty Laundry. I could have been an actor, but I wound up here.
Mm-hmm.
We have way too many bad actors trying to be broadcasters, announcers, newscasters, sportscasters.
Mm.
And that's why it's tough for me to pick out a lot of really, I mean, there's a number of really good guys out there, but I don't want to upset anybody. Come on, Kate. You're going to put me in a problem here.
All right, Ed. Ed, if everybody wants to check out your stuff, then go to stonecoldsports.com, right?
Stonecoldsports.com. Stone cold opinion, ice cold bias. We take no prisoners.
I love it. Hey, Ed, thanks for coming on the show.
Kate, it's always my pleasure. Be well.
All right, you too, my friend. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk about the new search engine. Hang with us.
Less than a century ago, half of the American public grew much of their own food. Today, it's been estimated that only 1% of Americans still grow their own food. During the Great Depression, over 18 million people suffered from starvation. And as America continues down its current path, for many, the reality of another depression is a very serious concern. With massive layoffs and unemployment at record levels, growing your own food will help you save money that you'd normally spend at the grocery store. Invest in your family's future by stocking stocking up with your very own supply of seeds available from GetSeeds.net. Each order includes over 14,000 non-GMO chemical-free seeds that will provide you with food for years. Call 877-394-6657 to get 100 varieties of our heirloom seeds for just $49. Once again, that's GetSeeds.net or call 877-394-6657 to establish your own food supply today.
IonicZone.com sells virus, bacteria, and mold-killing products that will protect you and your loved ones from airborne pathogens, biological threats, chemtrails, you name it. For instance, IonicZone sells their patented ozone generators from $279, digital water ozonators from $135, and UVC dual-lamp induct air sanitizers from $279. IonicZone also sells highly effective alternative health products. For instance, Jim Humble's revolutionary internal virus-killing invention, MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, Canada's Nurse Serene Cases, Asciox Tea, naturopath-recommended Super Zeolite for heavy metal detox, even an ozone handheld bidet. If you're interested in natural healing, you'll love what Ionic Zone has to offer. Ionic Zone also offers free home business opportunities that will make you well over $1,000 a month. Call Mike, toll-free at 1-800-549-9535 to inquire, or go to IonicZone.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Have you heard of this thing called Wolfram Alpha? Yeah. Supposed to be killer search engine. In fact, I've been checking it out myself lately since earlier today. There's a big buzz going on about Wolfram Alpha. Is it going to slaughter Google, or is it just the latest, craziest thing that's out there that people are starting to talk about and explore and that kind of stuff? Who better to come on this show than Greg Stebbin? We've had him on a lot of different times to talk about tech stuff. His resume is too bloody long to list everything, but he's written a ton of books, including one that I really love, because you all know how I'm so into the whole presidential history thing. He did a book called White House Confidential. We've had Austin Hill on to talk about that, and of course, also The Internet for Dummies. He was one of the co-authors of that book as well. Greg, thanks for coming on the show. I know it's late for you. We appreciate it.
Oh, I always have time, and I'm always wide awake for you, Kate.
Oh, thank you. Hey, this Wolfram Alpha, it's funny because I sent you an email earlier in the day, and I said, let's talk about the battle between Twitter and Facebook, because that's all everyone around me is talking about. And then you said, whoa, well, wait a second. Check out this whole Wolfram Alpha thing. And the second you said that to me, he had sent me that email, I got a bunch of hits on my Facebook about it, and then I turned on the tube and CNN was doing a story about it. So what is Wolfram Alpha?
Well, first, let me explain that the word Wolfram is not Wolf plus Ram. It's actually a gentleman's name. His name is Stephen Wolfram, and Alpha just means it's the first release, essentially. Mm-hmm. This is a really interesting tool on the internet, but it really is not a Google killer. It is not intended to be a Google killer. They're two very different things. So Google is a search engine, and it works sort of like a librarian that when you want to find a particular search term, it goes and finds finds many occurrences of that search term and tries to figure out which occurrences are going to be most like what you're looking for. Wolfram Alpha is not a search engine. It's actually a computational tool. So it's really designed for doing things like crunching numbers and data. So, for instance, much to my chagrin, when I typed my name into Wolfram Alpha, it doesn't know who I am. Type my name into Google and you will find, I don't know, many thousands of hits. I'm sure the same is true for you, because I am not a something to compute. I am not a number. I am not a chunk of data. And therefore, Wolfram Alpha is really not all that interested in me. You mentioned CNN, and they had a very interesting comparison between Google and Wolfram Alpha that I think really drives the point home. And that is that if you wanted to find out how many calories were in your dinner tonight, on Google you would have to enter each of the ingredients individually and then add up the totals for yourself. In Wolfram Alpha, you could just enter the recipe, and it would crank out all kinds of nutritional information, almost like on the side of a cereal box. And so that really is a significant difference between the two, and they're really meant for doing different things.
Yeah, no kidding. So that means if you're a college student or, hey, even a kid in elementary school and you have to figure some math problem out, could it compute it for you?
That's exactly. Here's the stunning thing about Wolfram Alpha compared to Google. You know, with Google, what you're really going to do is find the answer to your question that somebody has already found or already stated. In Wolfram Alpha, you could actually, I don't know what the question is, but you could potentially ask a question that no one has ever asked before, a question of a computational variety, and it could potentially crunch the numbers and figure out the answer for you, even though that answer has never been found before. That really, I think, again, explains the difference between the two. Google is really just finding answers like the one you're looking for and hoping that it's the closest answer for you, whereas Wolfram Alpha is actually figuring out the answer for you. The reality, though, is interesting. I think most people, when they get to Wolfram Alpha, will not find it to be that interesting, because in everyday life, most of us are not doing computational things. We're looking for bits of information that other people have looked for in the past.
Yeah, you're right. So it depends on what you do for a living. It depends on, like I mentioned, the example of the student, whatever. But
yes,
most people, like, for example, for me, if something just, some weird thing hits me and I don't have time to look something up, it's like if I just go to ask.com and throw something in, what is whatever, and see what sites come up. Or there are other search engines, even better than that, where you can just throw a question up and get the answer back, where it could be related to anything, something stupid about celebrities or sports teams or whatever, I guess, right? So there's a big difference,
well,
obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think is really exciting about Wolfram Alpha, and I really do encourage your listeners to go and look at it and get a flavor of it for themselves, because it, whether it's something that's useful for you every day or not, it is a huge breakthrough for the Internet and a huge breakthrough for science. But what it really does for us in our everyday life is paint the idea in our minds that, oh, there are many different ways to search for information beyond what most people use as a default, which is Google. And you mentioned CNN. They have a great article on the CNN website about all kinds of different new search engines that are popping up that work in all kinds of different ways. I know a few months ago you had the CEO of a company called Search Me on your show.
I love it.
And yeah. Yeah, Search Me is a website that is a visual website in a sense. When you do your search, instead of getting the typical Google page where you have to keep clicking on links to see if the page that you're looking at is the one you really want, with Search Me, it actually serves up all the pages that meet your criteria almost in like an iTunes interface. So you're flicking through them the way you flick through album covers. And that's yet just another way of looking at search. But I think for most people, something like a Search Me, which can turn your computer into a jukebox if you search for music, or a video jukebox if you search for videos, is probably something that's going to be used more often, because frankly, it fits our life and the things we look for on a more regular basis.
Yeah, I've used Search Me in a couple of presentations I've done where I've had to pull something up and show somebody something. I pulled it up on my iPhone, and it's It's very, this is a weird word to use, Greg, but it's very sexy looking. You know, like you said, it has all the photographs, all the pages, the swipes, and it looks really good. And I've used that on a couple of people, so that's a very good point about all the different search engines that are out there. Twitter or Facebook, which one do you like better?
Well, I don't find that it's a choice between the two. I think that they really do very different things, and so I'll explain how I use them. I have a Facebook account, and I'm Greg Stebbin at Facebook, and I do use it to communicate with friends from high school and people I know today, and it's kind of a socializing social networking tool for me. Twitter, on the other hand, I use merely as a way of just announcing to anyone who's following me, hey, this is what I'm doing right now, and most often I use Twitter to announce when I'm about to talk to someone like you, Kate. In fact, about 10 minutes ago, I went on Twitter and sent a tweet that said I was going to be on your show. Now, it's interesting. You can actually link the two, so it becomes less and less necessary to choose, so that every time I send a tweet on Twitter, it shows up on my Facebook profile. So I'm able to reach both sets of people at one time. And I think more and more people are finding that they are distinct and really serve different purposes. And if you don't prefer one or the other, you find that you don't have to choose between the two.
Yeah, and really you have to have some form, I think, of social networking to survive and thrive in the business world now, don't you think so?
Well, I absolutely do. I think that there's a third social networking site that often gets overlooked today because Facebook and Twitter are getting such a buzz, and that is a site called LinkedIn. Mm. And what I think is really valuable about LinkedIn is it really is designed to focus more on just your work or your professional life. And I think for many people that's a more comfortable environment to invite other people from within their profession, because then they don't have to worry about, well, I went to this party and I want to say something about it, but I don't want my professional colleagues to know that I went. You know, it saves you having to decide, do I mix my work life with my professional life? On the other hand, I think more and more today, people are realizing that you are who you are, and who you are is a mix of your work life and your professional, and I think people are really just letting it hang out. I've been talking with friends recently about, well, what happens in 20 years when we have a president or someone who's running for president, and he or she has at some point had embarrassing photos posted on Facebook? Well, will that hinder this person's ability to become president? I say no, because by then we're all going to have had embarrassing pictures of ourselves posted on Facebook. Because the other thing we forget is those pictures, those things you post of yourself, they may never disappear. It may become impossible to take them down.
I know, and that's the scary part. Greg Stebbin, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for stopping by on America Tonight.
It was great to be here.
All right, so you heard Greg's take. He's right. LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, are you on any of these? People listening to America Tonight, are you into social networking in any form? 800-259-5791. Coming up next, President Obama lays down the law on fuel economy. We'll talk about it.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious-tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today.
1-800-210-1922.
With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to orderchoose.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell them you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals and cravings and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free Capsules, a Guide to Living Smoke-Free book, an audio support program, capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-426-6186 today. That's 1-800-426-6186. This is a limited time offer, so call 1-800-426-6186 now.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn, and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-849-6863. That's 888-849-6863. Call 888-849-6863.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Let me tell you, the log being laid down from the Beltway. Of course, you have a few years to comply. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's right. The word from the Obama administration is they're going to propose some stricter fuel economy standards. Ooh. And why? Well, to get green, 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 baby. Cutting down on that vehicle greenhouse gas emissions. So check it out. The plan is going to require passenger cars, and even those of you driving around in those trucks, to get an overall average of 35.5 miles a gallon by 2016. Okay? That leaked out today. So cars will be expected to average about 39 that year, by that year, 39 miles a gallon and 34 trucks. If you look at the current fuel economy standards, I even had to look this up because I couldn't remember. It's 27.5 for cars, 23.1 for trucks. So now this plan, if I'm right, this accelerates by at least 4 years, this new fuel economy standards passed by Congress, if you remember, 2 years ago. What does your car get? I thought about this the other day, and I, especially with the way I drive, because I do admit I kind of have a heavy foot. I'm not speeding and tearing it up through the suburbs, but I'm on the highways a lot. And I know that you can save fuel if you really slow it down, but I'm getting over that. I'm getting about 40. I'm getting about 40 now, so I fall into that category. Of course, I've driven things. Like the biggest blunder in the last couple of years for me was the Land Rover I had. Oh, it's a great deal. You're getting a great deal on this British car. It looks sweet, and it's not costing you very much. And so, of course, my significant other, he thinks, well, this is great. You need to be in this Land Rover, and you're protected and all this other sort of stuff. But it turned out every other week, I am so not exaggerating, I was at the mechanics who would say, okay, this oil pan has to be changed. That'll be another $250. I mean, it was ridiculous. And then there was the times when it didn't start, and yeah. So there's a reason why they call them lemons, and it definitely was not good on the on what it was getting per gallon, because it was somewhere in the 20s. So I guarantee it. It was awful. Looked good. It looked good, but it didn't do much for the pocketbook, and it didn't do much as far as how it operated when you needed it to operate on the roadways. Hey, Matt, how about you? What, you're driving kind of a clunker, but good for you because you don't have any car payments or anything. How much do you get per gallon?
Per gallon, I think it's, I don't even know, but I know I get like around like 32 something highway, I believe.
32 highway.
Yeah. I think something like that. Because I got a, you know, Japanese car, so we're all ready to roll.
That's right, but so you figure, are you going to still have that car 2016? No, by then you're going to have to put that out to pasture.
Well, I'm going to make all that, you know, big radio money by then, of course.
So you'll be driving something else anyway.
Yeah, I'll probably be driving an older car.
No kidding. So it's interesting that they've hiked up this plan and pushed it along a little bit faster because, you know, we're talking about CAFE standards is the nickname, the corporate average. I love these acronyms, the corporate average fuel economy. You just learned something. How many knew what CAFE standards applied to? And so of course, the EPA is responsible for formulating the fuel economy numbers, right? Shown on the new car window stickers. So when you're shopping around, you look at that. And of course, that's one of the things people look at. When gas was really, really started to get really high, that became the topic of conversation. Everybody knew. That's why I asked Matt that. Everybody seemed to know pretty much roughly what they were getting a gallon. Because it became a big deal how much petrol you were pumping into your machine. Now, some people, I guess depending on how long you keep a car, what car you got, that kind of thing. I mean, this is something you're going to have to keep in mind, which means, of course, a lot of cars would be obsolete, but there's plenty of time for that if you look at the timeline of this. Now, Obama's going to actually announce this. Unveil the changes for this whole thing in the Rose Garden on Tuesday. It's perfect. In a thorny position, right? So Schwarzenegger, Governor Schwarzenegger from California, and also Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, both are going to be there with a bunch of suits from the auto manufacturing companies. So I guess they're going to go deep into some of the things that you can expect. I mean, this is a huge shift. It kind of got lost because there's so many other things going on. And, of course, we've been browbeating the whole Pelosi thing to death and the CIA and all the reaction and all the fallout. And trust me, we've got that coming down the road. John Boehner reacting again to Pelosi. And he said some pretty harsh things that I think he's right on the money, though, by the way. But that's coming up. So in the meantime, this kind of gets lost in the sauce. But this is a big deal because this is a huge move in how the government regulates fuel economy, because typically they haven't focused on greenhouse gas emissions like carbon dioxide or CO2, of course. And now, and remember, and these are all things that I completely threw out of my brain, I'm sure some of you have as well. Remember, the Supreme Court ruled that CO2 was a dangerous pollutant that could be regulated by the EPA. So here we go. Get ready for this. Because this means these new rules would have to be administered by the EPA and the Transportation Department. And I just explained to you how they're responsible for formulating the fuel economy numbers, right? The stuff that you see when you're shopping around and the stuff that I guess you should know about your car. And depending on what you're driving now, I mean, there's some cars that really get lousy mileage. And some of them are the expensive brand of car. You may be trading something in. You still have some, I mean, you still have some time to play with here. But like I said, it depends on your point of view. Do you lease cars? Do you just drive a car until it's done? Are you, you know, are you a 200,000 miler plus and you just do everything you can, all the maintenance on the car because you just, you know, forget it. I don't want to have to pay any more money to get a new car. Do you do the lease thing? I mean, you know, what's your pleasure ultimately? A lot of that depends on where you live, your economic status. If you have a good car that you like that's paid off. Because sometimes I think there's differences from cars. Somebody else can go and get a Toyota. I can have a Toyota. We can both say that the Camrys are great, but one person's Camry doesn't last as long and they have more problems, and I don't have as many problems. Or you could say that pretty much about any car because it depends on how you drive the thing and what maintenance that you put into it and all that sort of stuff. So this brings me to an email that I got, which, by the way, you can always shoot me an email, americatonight.net, americatonight.net, or you can jingle this number, 800-259-5791. And I got an email from Nikki Mitchell. Hey, Nikki Mitchell. And she writes this. She says, after hearing a misinformed Kate, I thought I'd send you some information on the smart car. It has a safety shell like something from a sci-fi show. They are extremely safe. And she sent me a video of an independent test done on, I love when people do this though, on a smart car that was driven at about 70 miles an hour into a concrete block. So, and the problem, of course, as she points out to me, is to overcome the deceleration as the internal organs throw themselves out through the front of your body. Ooh, it's on YouTube, by the way, if you want to go check it out. Do smart car, and then you can see it. Nikki must be in the UK because I got this note from England. And then since she sends me another video. This is also on YouTube, so you can go there as well. There's a video of an SUV crash, and it shows that the seatbelt did an okay job but snapped the driver's neck. Ooh, again and again. And you could see it clearly through the dummy's neck means the seatbelt killed the driver every time. So the point that Nikki is making is that the smart car in showing these tests is very, very safe. That would, and Nikki says, I know which one I would rather be in if the world suddenly wanted to jump on my car. Now, Nikki says Esquire at the end, so a lawyer. All the best, Nikki Mitchell, and I appreciate the email. I still think here in America, Nikki, I think the smart car, it's interesting to look at, and I know a lot of people swear by it, and I understand what you're telling me about the shell of the smart car, but man, the way people drive in the three cities recently that I've lived in, and out of the cities, because I said on the show, if you lived in New York, if you lived in San Francisco, if you lived in Chicago, if you lived in Philadelphia, if you lived in a big metropolitan area, I felt it was okay to drive it around in those cities. But I thought when you got out on the highway and people are slamming it down 75 miles an hour, I would be a little bit worried about being in that tiny car. And that's what I was saying. Matt, have you seen the smart car? You've seen how tiny they are. I mean, great.
Yeah, I've seen them on the road, too.
Oh, so you've seen them in Minneapolis.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The smart car versus the SUV. And again, I go back to the way people drive, putting on makeup, flying across three lanes, texting on the cell phone, just not paying attention. I think you could really get slammed in like any other small car. I think you could really get submarined in a smart car.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, it reminds me too much of a Geo Metro and the size of that. So I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, same thing for me. I mean, I love what it does. And I made my point. If I were living in Manhattan, I could drive one. Man, I'd love it, the way you could do that parallel parking thing. But other than that, I would be deathly afraid in other areas. Coming up next, oh, yeah, as Pelosi turns, the soap opera continues. We have the latest.
We're getting plowed by the oil companies and the gas companies.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days. But many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acola Blue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpaste contain chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that many multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Do your herbal remedies have unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make a change to organic health and beauty products. Visit tobenatural.com and order today. 2BNatural.com carries exclusive, all-natural, chemical-free skincare, hair care, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit 2BNatural.com. That's TOBENatural.com. 2BNatural.com. Use coupon code RADIO for 15% discount and free alkaline food chart. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog.
The latest on Nancy Pelosi, you knew we were going to get to that, right? This is a story that will never, never go away. I don't know that we're ever going to have a resolution that everybody's going to be happy about. Bottom line is, will we find out, we, meaning the American people, find out what the true deal here is? Bottom line is, once you threw, or once she threw, the CIA under the tires, under the bus, and the CIA has been just getting hammered lately. Even Leon Panetta, of course, came out and said that. Well, I mean, here's the bottom line. You know that there's going to be rippling effects of this. And I don't really blame anyone in the Republican Party for jumping on this train, because it's like feeding raw meat to the lions. I mean, it's sitting right up there by the fact that she told so many different stories. And just last week was all over the map when she was trying to explain where she was going with everything. Well, I wasn't briefed on this, and I didn't know, but it goes back to the knowing about the waterboarding thing and, you know, that whole deal. So are there going to be truth commissions? Is there going to be more to this? Is everybody open to this whole probe thing? And it's interesting, but in some corners, Pelosi is getting support in this dispute with the CIA, and in other corners, she's getting hammered. And I said this before, I don't know. To me, when somebody has the straight story, especially a skilled politician, this woman is no dummy. Not at all. Somebody compared her today in something I was watching to Margaret Thatcher, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's right on. Right on in one sense, in the fact that she could be stone cold if she has to be. But the bottom line is, and it's like Frank Gaffney said to us on Sunday, what does it show you when you look at what's happened with Pelosi with the 20 different stories? You know, something, there's something up. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Otherwise, you just come out. Here's what I was briefed on. No, I didn't know about the waterboarding. Go look it up in the CIA. Now, she is saying, let's go back. That's fine. But I don't think this is going away anytime soon. Because this ends one way or the other. It either ends where everybody agrees to put away the balls and the bats and walk off the field, which is not going to happen. Or somebody resigns, which, of course, she's not going to resign, and she's getting the backing of the president and the people that she needs, which is what I made the point of. And the only other thing that could happen would be that one of these commissions happens, a so-called truth commission, investigating committee, whatever you want to call it, because I've heard like three different names, but call it whatever you will. But ultimately, that's the thing that will probably happen, right? Let's be honest about it. We're probably going to have another one of these bloody hearings, and will we get anything out of it, or won't we get anything out of it? I mean, that's the scoop. Now, John Boehner was on Fox today on one of the shows, and he still has a lot to say about this. And I think he made some pretty pointed comments. Matt, do we have the comments?
Well, lying to Congress is a crime. Purposefully misleading Congress is a crime. And if the Speaker is accusing the intelligence community of lying to her or purposefully misleading her, then she ought to present that evidence, turn it over to the Justice Department, have them prosecute it. And if that is not the case, then I think she owes our intelligence community an apology. Well, I think Director Panetta has a job to do on behalf of his intelligence professionals in Washington and, for that matter, around the world. We have to remember that these are the people who are charged with keeping us safe. And over the last 8 years, they have done, almost 8 years, they've done a marvelous job of keeping America safe, providing intelligence for our soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere around the world so that they can do their job. And I think that it's pretty clear that Mr. Panetta and the CIA believe that they were truthful in their briefings to Ms. Pelosi. They have no reason to lie. Well, I think the ball's in the Speaker's court. I think she needs to come forward. Either present evidence or do an apology, and let's get this behind us.
All right, so here what he said at the end, let's get this behind us. I agree with that. We've got to get it behind you, but ultimately where does it end up? You just heard my rant on that. There has to be some kind of a hearing or else everybody agrees to walk away, and I just don't see that happening because there's not going to be any let off here. There was a Rasmussen poll that was released earlier in the day, and it showed that after a bunch of days of the media chewing this up, because this is, you know, all Pelosi all the time, and the crazy press conference where she was obviously scattered and inept and lost her notes and all that other sort of stuff, and now there's this very public spat with the CIA afterwards, public opinion is pretty much split, it looks like. Because the question that was thrown out is, how likely is it that the CIA misled Pelosi about the use of waterboarding when interrogating prisoners? And 20% said very likely, 23% said somewhat likely, 19% not very likely, 22% not at all likely, and 16% not sure. So it is pretty split. And this is what it certainly seems this way. It's either you believe her or you think that the CIA somehow was led by the administration at the time, the Bush administration, and they just covered things up or whatever. But it doesn't make any sense. because if you look at the CIA, not that politics can't play a part and not that the directors can't be sidestepping things because of politics and loyalties and whatever. We certainly know that. Go back and read some of the juiciest books you'll ever read in your life, written by some former CIA folks. Some of them slightly exaggerated, some of them right on the money, and some of them just darn entertaining. But the bottom line is, you're briefed, there's notes, they're thorough, they tape. And is somebody burning the tape? Is somebody getting rid of the tape? Are the records tampered with? I just don't buy it. I'm not buying this. So is there going to be this commission that's going to investigate what really happened? You know, that whole thing, the whole Pelosi deal. Or, you know how they like to call this, is it a Mexican standoff? Yeah, somebody suggests that. I think it was Neil Cavuto that said, I thought, oh, that's a brilliant way to put that. So does Pelosi drop the whole notion of any of these investigations to just get the spotlight off of her and stop attracting all the scrutiny? Or does she keep pushing this? And because certainly there are people now that can gun for Pelosi. Hey, we know that on this show, right? I mean, I think flat out she had no clue what she was talking about, and she was sidestepping the whole thing in the first place, was doggedly going after what happened, torture's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And then now all of a sudden she fell into this spider web, but I don't think she's let up on her end. So it's like, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I think that we're going to see something come out of here. She definitely has some backers, and her biggest backer is Barack Obama. And here's the thing. Obama would rather move forward than focus on the past, because the past has caught the administration in a couple of different wicked transition periods that they're not ready for, where they flip-flopped on a couple of things. So moving forward is probably, from the Obama point of view, makes the most sense. But if you're trying to keep score, and if Nancy Pelosi is so sure of herself that she wants to keep score on this one, then it's not going to go away. Then it's just going to be pushed that much more. So if you were to take the poll, how likely is it? I mean, it's such a simple question. How likely is it that the CIA misled Pelosi about the use of waterboarding when interrogating prisoners? Where would you fall into? Now, I'm going to say, judging by the calls that I get on America Tonight, most of you are probably going to say, not very likely, not at all likely, for sure. I don't see you in that undecided category or on the Pelosi side. For the simple reason of just watching this thing play out, does she really look like she's telling us the truth and that the CIA lied? I just don't understand how that would benefit the CIA even at the time. You can flip me your thoughts by snail mail, americatonight.net.